This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning. It is just Hunter and Dave the Apprentice this morning. No Harry, I'm afraid. She's away. I think she's over in the Apple Isle.
Tasmania, I guess.
She's been looking forward to going there, so I hope she's having a great time. But in the meantime, it is the boys' edition of the tag team. So a very gay edition. Things are probably going to get pretty manly around here. Loving that shirt, by the way. But what do you call that? Paisley floral?
It's just my table shirt.
Feel the testosterone.
I tell you, they're good. Great day in Melbourne today, 21 degrees, I believe it is. Get your zinc out. And we've got, I'm thinking about, you know, a few additions to my, look, image. So I want to discuss that with you later
on. Summer plans in mind.
Yes.
Maybe. And I want to talk about two favourite things, doppelgangers and mother-in-laws from hell. So stick around, guys, because maybe they're both combined. Maybe they can combine the two. Can give you a doppelganger of my mother-in-law. Here he comes first, coming across the field. What's he playing today? Is it netball? Is it t-ball? Is it rounders? Who knows? He's good at every game. It's Dave Sports Wrap.
Thank you very much, Hunter. Now, you know I like to follow the bad boys of tennis,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do, Dave.
Well, Nick Kyrgios, he made it to the final of the China Open. However, he was whitewashed by the man himself, the left-hander Rafael Nadal, 6-2, 6-1.
He made it to the final.
Yeah, he made it
to the
final.
China Open, one of the most famous tournaments in tennis.
I couldn't name a player that he beat in that tournament. But anyway, he lost to Rafael in the final. Australia, the Socceroos play the almighty Syria tonight in Sydney. As they get one step closer to World Cup qualification.
Who's the favourite in that one, Dave?
Well, as you think the Aussies would win, they drew 1-1 with Syria last game, but there was a bit of dodgy refereeing involved there that cost Australia the goal. But you know what?
Well, that's editorialising, but move right along.
My own little opinion there. I think Australia win comfortably tonight. Also, AFL Trade Week, and your Demons, Jack Watts, is in the spotlight.
Good old Jack Watto Watts.
Yeah, he's seeking a trade to either Geelong or Port Adelaide, where if he comes to Geelong, he could team up with Tom Hawkins, another Geelong grammar.
When you say team up, what do you mean?
I mean, they can play in the forward line together.
Right, nothing sexual, not in Sports Wrap.
Also, local cricket's return on the weekend with the almighty Dave the Apprentice scoring 48, top scoring for his team.
Oh, well done. Top scorer.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's just how good I am.
That's it. There you go. That's Dave Sports Wrap.
Joy.org.au.
Hey, so this week I met Reed's parents for the first time.
Oh, really?
I was pretty nervous about it, but it went okay.
How long have you known Reed for?
I don't know, about 9 months.
9 months, okay.
Yeah, 6 months.
And this is the first moment. What was the scenario?
Well, we went out, met them at a bar, and then we had dinner at Reed's house. So they're from New Zealand as well. So, you know, there were some cultural differences to bridge.
Yeah, yeah, a bit of language barriers.
A bit of a faux pas, though. When everyone was getting ready to leave, they were, like, gathering their things, and I sat at the table, and I was thinking, okay, you might have to hug them, so read the room correctly.
This
right?
is at the end of the night.
Yes, the very end.
Oh,
of the
okay.
Night. So they get up, they go. His dad went to shake my hand, and then I went in for the hug, and that was good. We hugged.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, well, I've hugged the dad. It's easy to hug the mum now. Yep. So I then hugged the mum.
Yes.
And Reed's had some other friends there, and they know each other from New Zealand for a couple of years. So I was like, well, they'll definitely hug, but they didn't. They were like, see you later, guys. And they were like, bye, Mr. and Mrs. Reed. See you later. Like, just waved across the room. I was like, that's awkward. Then it gets to Reed. And they're like, see you, Reed. Reed, from 5 metres away, throws them a chucker.
Oh, how do you
describe a chucker?
Like a gangster thumb.
If you're driving along, keep your hands on the wheel, but do one hand in a fist, then put your thumb out straight and your little finger out straight, and then shake it like a chucker. Yeah.
Really?
He did that.
That's a new...
So I was the only one.
Yeah, but you're a hugger, Hunter. You don't...
I'm not a hugger.
No, you're not a hugger.
I'm not a hugger.
Oh, you're not
a
hugger.
I'm not Harry Lloyd, mate.
How did you greet at the start? of the night.
I think I hugged Ben too.
Oh, no.
I think I put in four hugs.
Oh.
Next day I said, hey, do you think it's weird how I was the only one that hugged your parents? Mm. He's like, no, not weird.
It was funny how you hugged my dad, though.
He's like, I never hug my dad. I'm like, yeah, I noticed that, mate.
Okay,
and so I was going around hugging everyone like a madman.
Okay,
so
I need to know, Hunter, is Reed's dad your masculine type, your big handshaker, you know, tough type character?
Oh, yeah, pretty masculine, but not, like, mean.
And how were the hugs? You know, I judge hugs.
Very tender.
Oh.
Very
tender. So there was no, like, wrap? There was no hard wrap around the waist?
Well, no, you mean, what do you mean wrap? I didn't like, sometimes kink a leg like a around.
But sometimes, like, in a hug, you feel that little squeeze.
Right. I mean, I enveloped. Yeah. I'm bigger than them, so I really enveloped. Yeah, I really did.
I mean, how did it go? How did the first impressions go?
Well, I think it went okay. I think it went okay. But they were tourists to Melbourne.
Ooh.
So I was like, so what's your plans for Melbourne, you know?
Okay.
So, I don't know, I grew up in Berwick. Have you been to Berwick, Dave?
I have, yeah.
So, you know, lovely.
Lovely place to
Great
live.
Great place to grow up.
Fantastic.
Thinking about raising kids, you can't do any better than Berwick.
Great bakery out there.
Oh, what? Really? Which one?
Yeah, the one on the main street.
Don't know.
Good custard tarts. Yeah, get out
really.
There. Yeah, get out there.
Anyway.
And a joy sponsor.
Not particularly, not what I call a tourist destination. So imagine my shock when out of nowhere I say, what are your plans while you're in Melbourne? And Mrs. Reed says, have you heard of a place called Berwick? I said, yeah, I have. I'm from there. She was like, you're not. I was like, yeah. She's like, we're going to go out there tomorrow. I said, what the bloody hell?
What are they doing? What are they doing out in Berwick? So because I'm serious. Berwick is a place to live and bring up your family.
So
that's about it.
Turns out she is a big fan of the television show Offspring, right?
Okay.
And it turns out Nina from Offspring buys a lot of her gear from a shop in Berwick. And Julie's been fanging to get all the way to Australia and go to Berwick. So she goes, we're going to catch the train out there tomorrow. Does that sound like a good idea? I was like, oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you? And then they asked, bless them, what sort of things will we see from the train? I'm like, oh, it's not the Hallwalks Express, Julie. We're talking about sort of the most average tourist attractions or destinations in Melbourne after my new in-laws came to Australia and headed straight out to Berwick.
Yeah, and
Berwick. Which is great. I mean, I'm from Berwick.
Yeah,
just tuning in, I'm from Berwick. I am Team Berwick. But you can imagine my shock. You imagine they went out there for a clothing store. She said she went in and the lady said, have you guys come all the way from Melbourne to come here? And she said, nay, we have come all the way from New Zealand.
Okay.
A shock.
So I think there's other places to go in Melbourne that are slightly better than Berwick. Now, I'm not going to offend you or anything. They're only slightly better than Berwick.
I will say you're on thin ice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I think maybe there is some worse places. Some people really build up Frankston to be the place to go. Like, that's like the second CBD.
Oh, well, it's Melbourne by the water, they call it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so, yeah, head out there. Absolutely. What else? If I was your mortal enemy, if you and I were like the ultimate frenemies, okay, and I've come to Melbourne and I'm like, g'day, Dave. Where should I go? Where is sending me?
Sunshine.
Sunshine?
Yeah.
What's out there? What is
crime?
I mean, it has to have something. You've got to be able to sell it.
Sunshine Plaza, maybe. Maybe I'll
remember. Right, you've got to get out of Sunshine Plaza.
You know, chances are too full this time of the day, so let's head out to the other big shopping centre. Let's go to Sunshine Plaza.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, here's your Bulletproof Fest. Maybe wear that.
Your what?
Your Bulletproof Fest.
That's not kind, Dave.
Is it not nice?
That's
okay.
Not kind.
Where would you go?
I think I'd send people to the hot springs. Not mad for the hot springs.
Well, I think if I was to go to the hot springs, I want about 6 to 12 months notice because I want to really get on the treadmill, do some weights.
You're looking hot as.
Yeah.
I thought about telling the in-laws I should go to the hot springs, but they're from Rotorua, which is mad for a hot spring.
They've seen it. All right.
Once you've bathed in stinky mud, you know, you can't be heading down to Rosebud.
I think beaches are good. Down Geelong Way, I think, is good, but the water's a little bit dangerous out there. I wouldn't recommend it to people who maybe can't swim that well.
Joy.org.au.
Now, I've taken my shirt off. I've stripped down just to my bare minimum.
And apologies to the people that just ran off the road in anticipation then for listening in the car.
And to the people who are doing a rapid U-turn and heading straight to Bourke Street, Melbourne. Dave the Apprentice got his top off. Now, I want to get some advice. It's been on my mind for a long, long time. And I thought to myself, I was thinking the other week, I thought, who do I turn to get that expert advice?
Oh.
And Hunter,
come to mama.
You were top of the list. So I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. Now,
I know.
I think everybody goes through this little moment.
They
at some stage,
usually between 16 and 16 and a half. But here we are. Double that age.
3-0.
Okay, so what are you thinking?
Okay, so it's a bit of everybody's proud to be gay, proud to be whatever. So a little similar to Harry's little Chinese gay tattoo, but mine's, I want the rainbow flag. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Don't give me that look. That look said everything like Day of the Apprentice.
Well, you know that I've got that too. Remember, oh, Harry and I've got the matching tattoos.
No, but not the rainbow flag, though.
No, not the rainbow flag.
But same, yeah, okay.
A similar thing.
So maybe, you know, maybe
and
I need
you know, I got that and I just loved it. Like, I just thought I looked so sexy with it for about 2 or 3 months.
Yes, okay. So you're not really giving me much
and it's
hope
it's been a long life since then. I think placement is very important.
So placement is the one thing that's holding me back of getting the tattoo. I just don't know where to put it. Now, I'm a bit worried about later in life when you know, you maybe get a little bit more cuddly.
Yeah, right.
That maybe the tattoo's sort of, you know, like lose its weight.
You don't want it to become the size, you don't want it to become the size of an actual pride flag.
No, I don't. No,
so where are you thinking?
Well,
so, everybody really holds itself.
Well, I'm thinking maybe foot or maybe the upper, like, thigh.
Good.
So I can sort of wear it under shorts so it's not sort
of
really
seen. That would
be good
because if you're ever giving a little hot and heavy with a gentleman and he might not know for sure if you are into it, you know, but then once he's right in there, right at their business, you know, where right where it's like hot, packing heat, he'll spot the flag and be like, oh, no, I'm all right here. I'm all right here.
If his gaiter's not quite working the rainbow flag might give it away. Right. Have you got any tattoo stories or any advice to throw my way?
I certainly absolutely would not do it. That's my first advice.
You are giving me no hope one little bit.
Yeah, no, wouldn't do it. I often think about getting my tattoo covered up with a bigger tattoo and then I think, oh, isn't that like just replacing one mistake with an even bigger mistake?
Okay.
Is that something to take into account?
Harry's thinking about the laser removal.
She's doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good lesson for you too. She's also, I think it's also important that you get it done somewhere. Like the more popular tattoos become, the more like cred there is in where you got it done. So you'd have to go somewhere very reputable to get something as classy as the pride flag for sure.
Any suggestions?
I got mine done at the Celtic Sun in Cranbourne. So you can see that they're very reputable. One of the top, they use that traditional bamboo style that Angelina Jolie likes, you know.
And they give you 3 months of antibiotics.
Angelina Jolie is a great tattoo idol, actually. Yeah. Follow her instead of Harry and I, mate. She got the global positioning coordinates of all her children's birthplaces tattooed on her right shoulder. Just do that.
I've got a friend who's done that.
Do that. Yeah. You got a dog?
I do have a dog.
Where was it born?
I have no idea.
What suburb? We'll find out and get it tattooed on your shoulder.
joy.org.au.
And joining us now is James, who's here to tell us about QSpace, which is a local LGBTI safe space that's been opened up during the Postal Service to help people who might be struggling. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No, well, it's just a pleasure to be here. You're a friend of Dave's, so, you know, a friend of Dave's is an acquaintance of mine.
Let's ask personal questions later. you're the CEO of Proud to Play, which is one of the three organisations involved in this initiative. Why is this initiative such as this needed for the LGBTI plus people during this time?
Well, we know from experience that we have an increase of about 150% in mental health services that are needed during the time of a plebiscite. In Ireland especially, they had an increase of 250%, so we know it's going to get worse and worse. So what we wanted to create is somewhere for people to go right then and there where they can get the support that they need and they can talk to each other about the stresses that they're feeling.
And so if people are sort of struggling during the postal survey, are there sort of basic tips that you can give to people that might be listening now who are feeling the weight of it?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing to realise is that what you're feeling is real and we need to appreciate that and the people around you need to appreciate that as well. Also, it's time to turn off social media for a little bit. Don't go on, listen to Joy, because Joy is always good to listen to. It's always pretty positive.
Don't turn off Joy.
Yeah, turn off your social media. Stop listening to things that are out there. Even the positive things can really get us down. Also, talk to people. Find people to talk to. Talk to your friends and family, if you feel comfortable enough to, about how you're feeling, and really give people a call.
I think that is a really valid point because I've been getting quite just feeling a little anxious over the last couple of weeks, and I'm not really sure if it's postal vote related, but a good friend of mine, Gary, he said it's definitely the postal vote for him anyway, and that he's had to delete it off his phone, and he said the same thing as you. He said it's not that I'm seeing homophobic stuff; it's that I'm seeing relentless coverage of it. And then once he said that, I did start to notice it as well. As I sort of drove to work, if you're finding it very stressful, you might drive to work and see 30 yes posters, and even though they're all positive, it does add to the noise of the situation.
Exactly, it's all a reminder of what's happening around us, and sometimes you just don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So tell us more about the drop-in centre. It's organised by Proud to Play, Parents of Gender Diverse, and Drummond Street.
Correct. Yes. So it's an initiative between the three of us. So we're all working together on just this safe space where young LGBTI people, as well as older LGBTI people, can come, hang out, chill, talk to each other. There will be mental health services needed. So if you need it there and then, rather than waiting a year, which is some of the waiting times that we have now, you can go and get support right there.
And so if people are listening now and they're thinking, yeah, that's what I need, how can they get in touch and contact you?
So we're not actually sharing any of the locations just for safety concerns, but if you email qspacevolunteers@gmail.com or qspacemelb@gmail.com and ask for any questions that you need, we'll send the address and all the information that's needed.
So that was qspacemelb?
Yep.
@gmail.com.
Correct. And we might post the dates up on our Facebook page, tag team on Joy. Now, I'm assuming that the drop-in centre is quite large and you probably need a large volume of volunteers to help out. How can people help out in that way?
So the same way, if you're getting contact from the same way, but we're just looking for mostly teachers, people who have experience with LGBTI-related matters, anybody who wants to help and doesn't want to just hold a placard up or go do some activism work, they can come, make a cup of coffee, have a chat with young people and just see how they're going.
Oh, that sounds great. That's right. And tell us quickly about Proud to Play. What do they do? What do you do?
Proud to Play is a sport charity, so we try to get as many young LGBTI people into community sport as possible. Right.
Have you been down to Dave's Cricket Club?
Yes, and Dave was our coach last year as well at our cricket club.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I was trying to take the piss, but you served me there with a very sensible answer.
Yes, exactly. And now, James, you've been in the headlines over the last week winning an award. Can you tell us about that as well?
So
we like to brag here on the tag team.
Yeah, I was awarded as Australia's Community Leader of the Year in Sydney last week.
There you go.
So it was good. And was it a tough competition? Were you like just slaying?
If you ask me, it was the toughest of competitions.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know how I won. I'm still trying to figure out how.
And just before you go, you might have been listening. We were discussing this morning. Dave sort of fronted up the fact that he wants to get out there and maybe get himself a tattoo. So we've been taking text messages on if he should do it and placement. Now, you're a good friend of his, and yes. I have it on good authority that you're riddled with tattoos yourself. So, first of all, are you voting yes or no?
This is the tattoo discussion.
The tattoo postal service.
I'm a yes for both.
Okay, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You're a yes. And secondly, placement.
Placement, well...
drink him in like a big glass of water.
Dave has this thing where in all photos he's always sticking out his tongue.
Don't tell Harry that.
Very, I'm well aware of that.
Well, everybody knows. I'm thinking a tongue tattoo.
Yes!
That's a great idea.
Dave also doesn't like pain. So it's going to be absolutely amazing to watch it.
I like that. A pride flag on the tongue that may or may not be abandoned halfway because you can't handle the pain. I like that. All right, just a couple of colours, just the red, the orange and the yellow, so it looks like a cold sore on the tongue.
You've nailed it, James.
That really hurts me already.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, mate. And that email again, I believe, was qspacemelb@gmail.com?
Yes, that's correct.
Beautiful. Good work. It sounds like you're doing great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
joy.org.au.
Isla Fisher is fed up of being confused for Amy Adams.
Really?
Now let's just quickly do a rundown of the difference between them, okay? Australian Isla Fisher, American, I think, Amy Adams.
Okay. Yep.
Look very similar, different people. She's sick of it. She's even recorded a community service announcement to help people tell the difference, okay? But it does beg the question, who do you think your doppelganger is? Because as I look at you, I've got a couple of options, but I just thought, who have people in the past said that you look most like?
Okay, the two that spring to mind, do you remember the Australian Idol winner, and I don't really like this lookalike, Damien Leith?
The Irishman.
Yeah, the Irishman.
I can see that.
I've been given that one a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, if you don't know what Dave looks like, picture Damien Leith. A little bit younger, but a lot more enthusiastic. That's how I describe you, Dave.
Okay, yep. Another one is Australian, this is for the sports fan, Australian cricketer off-spinner Nathan Horitz. I reckon that's a really good one for me.
Is it? Yes. I will have to Google that one as well.
Another one is, Melbourne, your Melbourne Demons footballer. He's now being axed now, but Jack Trengrove is another one.
Good old Jackie.
They're the three that spring to mind.
Spring to mind. They came very easily to mind, I must say. Yeah. They're just sitting just below the surface, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mine for you, Dave, would be... McLovin from Superbad.
Oh, that's not good.
Was it Superbad?
That's
McLovin?
Not good.
I've done a preemptive Google here, actually. I'll just... Give me a sec. I'll just spin...
Oh my God, I can see the screen.
There you go. Which one do you think you are?
That is so bad. Oh, yeah. Thanks. You know what?
When we pop on a song, I'm going to go to Facebook. I'm going to do a side by side. I'm going to upload a photo of McLovin and a photo of you.
Oh, okay? Wow. I've just signed a 5-year contract with the tag team now, and now you're giving me that.
Well, we waited until you sign before we put the McLovin bomb. I mean, take it in. Do you really think there's no similarity at all?
No, not really. No.
All right. Let's put up
my ones and see how they go. Let's have a look at the. I think Nathan Horitz is the closest one I've ever been with.
All right, well, we'll do a McLovin and a Horitz, and we'll see what people think, okay?
And then we come back and have a little, put you under the microscope.
All right, you can really drink me in and see what I look like, all right?
Just during that song there, I sort of took a backward step and, really drank Hunter Smith in and thought, what does he look like?
Yes.
And I went back to maybe the years of growing up in high school, you know, talking politics and thinking, you know, and going overseas,
yeah,
like abroad, you know.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Let me guess. Steve Brax's son, Nick Brax.
No. Nick Brax. And not the Canadian Prime Minister either, Justin Trudeau. No, not him.
The love child of Justin Trudeau and Nick Brax. I've heard it before, Dave.
I'm going to our mother country, the UK. Tony Blair, the Prime Minister. That's what I'm thinking. You got a bit of Tony Blair about you.
I don't have any Tony Blair about me.
Oh, yes.
I was really offended. I thought you were going to say Maggie Thatcher, mate, and I prefer that to Tony Blair, obviously, with curls like this. That's what they called me in high school, the Iron Lady, on account of my perm-like hair structure. What about me screams Tony Blair?
I think your hair, the hair, like the shape on the top here, is a bit Tony Blair-ish.
I think my hair's a little Cherie Boy, if I'm honest. Let me tell you who my real doppelganger is.
Thank you very much. Here we go. This would be bragging time.
It's not bragging. It's accurate. A young, very young Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
Yep. Or an even younger Ryan Phillippe.
Okay, yep. And those...
Prue's here, pre-laughing. It's not news time yet, Prue.
I'll give you Justin for sure. I think Ryan might be stretching it sore sometimes.
I'm thinking maybe Justin Timberlake after about a 12-day bender, maybe.
Well, I'll take a 12-day bender as long as not a 12-kilo bender.
Joy.org.au.
Just Hunter and Dave this morning. And Dave, you know, I've often said about you that what I like most about you, it's your subtlety and your delicate touch.
Yeah, okay. This is sounding promising.
You were telling me earlier about how it's time to have some hard conversations in your life. And I thought, well, you're really the expert. So I thought this morning at 19 minutes to 9, you could help people out.
Yeah,
okay. How's that going to work?
Well, there's been a bit of an issue with the workplace at the moment.
Right.
Yes.
Is it you?
No, it's not me. No. So there is, obviously people need to go to the toilet during the day, and I get that. People need to dispose of their waste. I get how the body works.
Okay, yeah, you'll get that. So, let me jump in here. I'm literally already regretting this topic, but anyway.
I know, but you're allowed it. So when you get to the toilet upstairs at work and...
It's not too graphic.
Yeah, it's just a cubicle. Like, it's like just a single toilet.
Just a cubicle situation.
No urine, whatever else. But there's always a wet patch.
A mess on the floor of the toilet. There's a mess. So you're saying that there's nowhere else to go.
No, not really.
And do you have any culprits in mind? Or?
Well, we do. There's two of us who have sort of, you know, got together and had a bit of a chat about it. There's really only three of us that use that toilet upstairs.
Right, so, and two of you are onto it.
Yeah, two of us are onto it. So I just want to know, how do we, and I keep asking you for advice all morning, but how do we address these issues?
I'm not sure if you can address that.
I
don't
think we can.
I'm not, no, you might just have to live with that, I think. Unless you think, like, how would they take it, a sort of confrontation?
Oh, no.
Not good at all?
Well, you know what, I'm happy for the other guy to address the issue, but I don't want to be there.
Are you trying to address it right now? Are you hoping that he or she might just be tuning in?
I guarantee this guy's not tuning into the tag team.
It doesn't sound like a tag team listener. Actually.
Yeah, he's a bit more of a Triple M Eddie and Dask type of guy. So is there any other hard, like, how do you have this? Is it like sometimes body odour is an issue that people need to talk about and things like that? How do we have these? Do we just let it go?
Well, I mean, some people are of the thought that if you are doing something that makes other people feel uncomfortable, then you probably want to know. Mm. You know what I mean? You probably want to be told. I'm not really one of those ones. If I'm disgusting, I don't want to know about it, you know?
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.